got a phone call from DJ Mag, and you're number one DJ in the world. And I was like, what?
I wanted to become a DJ, and when Tiësto won that award, I was like, mom and dad, one day I want to become the number one DJ in the world.
I just won the Oscars.
Everything I associate with DJ Mag, that one memory of Tiësto giving me the award is the craziest.
Mind of people here invested in it. Who's where? Who's number one?
You're going to look at it. You're going to see the rankings. You're curious to see who's top 10, who's top 100, who's made it.
People really want to be part of that top 100. It's like everyone's fighting for that.
And there was a poster in there of the top 100 DJs.
And I always was looking at this poster and I was like, one day I'll be there.
Sometimes when I've looked at it over the years, I'm like, what? But it definitely felt like it was quite a boys' club in the early days. You know, I could count the number of female DJs on one hand.
You need to be represented.
When Top 100 DJs reached 1 million votes, we knew really it completely outgrown the magazine.
The readers, the fans, it's their poll.
It's raised the importance of dance music.
It's a beast within itself these days.
My relationship with the top 100 is always complicated.
I first came across DJ Mag 90s, when it first came out.
It was kind of a Bible. It was like a kind of get it every week and devour it from cover to cover.
It was one of the first magazines that actually noticed that I was on the scene and trying to make some little mini waves of my own.
DJ Mag kind of came around where kind of house and techno music, electronic music, was starting to take hold. It turned into the Bible because they had the finger on the pulse.
There was no internet then. You got all your information from flyers. So to have a music magazine was something like amazing.
DJ Magazine was number one for me as a, you know, up and coming DJ, wanting to be DJ, you know, clubbing kind of person. It was all about that for me, so it was really important.
At the end of the year, DJ Mag staff would pick DJ of the year, and in 1992, this accolade went to Smokin' Joe.
Flabbergasted, absolutely, because you got people like Carl Cox, and I think it was Judge Jules again up there, and I was like, okay, this is cool. So yeah, I was a little bit sort of sheepish about the whole thing, to be honest.
Top 100 DJs evolved from DJ of the year, and in 93, the first list was compiled to celebrate the 100th issue of the magazine.
Wow, look at that.
I remember this so clearly. Good God. I look at the young Carl Cox.
And as you can see, going right back, oh, and I had hair.
There wasn't really a plan or a strategy.
At that time, it was very UK central.
Carl Cox, Lisa Loud, Norma Jay, DJ Paulette. It was primarily UK DJs in the first Top 100 list.
What's funny about being included in that list is I forgot.
You know, a lot of the US DJs were massive at the time there. Morales, Todd Terry, Masters at Work.
You know, from the US, it was me, Frankie Knuckles, Louis Vega, Roger Sanchez.
Well, for me, the top 100 DJs throughout the 90s was all about Carl Cox.
It's absolutely fantastic. It's one of the best parties I've done in a really long while.
Hi, I'm Carl Cox. This is Fatboy Slim.
I imagine Carl Cox in those days winning absolutely every single poll of anything to do with DJing. You know, he's pretty dominant now, but in those days he was the Don.
We got to actually bow down to Carl Cox. This guy was there before I started and still be part of it in such a powerful way.
If I think of my early years, I think Carl Cox.
Carl Cox stood out because of his energy. He was one of the first DJs, if not the first DJ, to do three deck mixing.
I just remember watching him and like the excitement from everyone in the crowd that he was on. Like everyone was treating him like
like a god, and he still is treated like a god, isn't he?
You know, I've known Carl since the sort of mid to late 80s, playing with him at the Zap Club in Brighton. He's the same now as he was when I first met him. That's what, there's no ego there.
I think there's nobody on the planet who hates Carl Cox.
He's been, you know, such a great ambassador for the scene.
And yeah, I think he's the people's favourite still, isn't he, after all this time?
It doesn't matter where he plays, the crowd just goes nuts when they see him.
Fantasia, make some noise for Carl Cox!
You'll see my life flash in front of me. Well, you can see the expression on my face. I'm just like, well, okay. Sitting there and in front of all these people, and you know that I'm not going to win this, but I'm going to support whoever wins it. So when my name came forward and Carl Cox, it was just like, I felt like I just won the Oscars, you know what I mean?
It became obvious that it was going to be difficult for us to keep deciding who should be in it. It was probably when we decided to put it out to the public.
Why should editorial people decide, you know, who's the best? People should decide.
You could start to see which DJs were being recognised for what they were doing.
I remember the ones that kept going in and out of it all the time, and it was like Paul Oakenfold, there was a Sasha moment, I think, and definitely Carl Cox.
I remember the top 100 being something that was very coveted and people were really passionate about, but it was also before the days of social media and the internet.
Well, we did actually physically vote, didn't we?
You used to send in a bit of paper with your vote on it.
There was a little slip in there that you had to fill in, vote for your three favourite DJs.
I definitely remember like great big Royal Mail bags full of votes, and each year it got more and more.
Real fans of electronic music would send in their votes. So it was an effort to do something like that, and it showed how invested people were in the scene that actually bothered to vote for DJs.
It seems very archaic these days, but at the time you didn't know any difference, so it didn't matter.
We were all walking hand in hand. I thought a South African be called a man someday.
I like to think that people voted with their feet. I like to think that people voted with their ears, and being the DJ's DJ, I basically, you know, set the standard, the ideal of if you're going to get this accolade, that it's deserved.
Paul Oakenfold knocked Carl Cox off the top spot in 98 and then in 99, largely thanks to his residency at Cream.
I was very happy because, you know, I had a target on my back. So, you know, the only place you can go from the top is down.
So. When I first saw the fall, this was around the time of Sasha Digweed, Paul Oakenfold, when those guys were all really on the forefront of everything.
It was called progressive because at the time it was a new sound. It was pushing the boundaries of what we called dance music in those days.
DJs were kind of playing quite a wide range of music. It wasn't strictly about one particular style.
Sash and Digweed were offering something a bit more, I suppose, underground.
It felt like no surprise to me when Sash and John became sort of the number one DJs. They polished the mirror ball throughout the 90s, both, you know, together and also individually putting out mix albums which defined the sound of that era.
Dasher, in his early days, could not put a foot wrong at all by whatever he was doing.
To then being picked up to produce for Madonna, Pet Shop Boys.
He had the apt title being the son of God. You see Sasha, oh my God, the son of God. You know, we're not worthy.
We all really look up to Sasha, and he's the kind of DJ that if he's on a lineup, you're always gonna try and make sure that you get to see him.
And I remember Sasha picking up his award at AK, which was at the end, and it was Roadblock. It was almost like the Oscars of a dance music scene. It was incredible.
I mean, as I said, the haircut's slightly different. I've never been a smiler in my photographs, have I? At that time, you know, all these DJs were the people I looked up to, and when they announced my name, it was fantastic. So I'm not gonna lie, it was a nice feeling.
I think at the time he was doing his Thursday nights at Bedrock, at Heaven. We basically hijacked it. It became this massive DJ Mag Top 100 after hours after show party. One of those legendary events of the day. Brilliant.
You know, when I was number one, I almost kind of went into my shell a little bit because I hated turning up a gig and everyone would go, and here he is, it's the number one DJ in the world. And I'm thinking, wow. I felt a bit uncomfortable being lauded as you're the best. It's not about, you know, being first, it's about being consistent. That's the best award for me, still after all this time, wanting to do it every day.
I think the whole world changed when the internet came along.
I wouldn't be sitting here if it wasn't for the internet.
Online made a massive difference, and a lot of people disappeared because they did not have an online presence.
You know, the internet suddenly made it possible for people to hear a DJ across the other side of the world.
Of course, it made it much easier for a lot of people to promote their music.
Internet voting was the catalyst for the international explosion of the Top 100 DJs poll, as it was for the dance music scene in general.
What we saw when we went digital was, you know, more Germans, more Dutch, and more people just from the wider international ecosystem were suddenly getting into the poll.
It was becoming a monster.
The sound of trance music and the DJs behind it just became absolute superstars.
1999 to 2001, they call it the golden years of trance.
They were just like so special.
All the big DJs at that time were playing trance.
I was never ever into trance, didn't get it, didn't like it, not my thing.
I feel like everyone was into trance. Trance was a massively popular genre, and then you had clubs with absolutely devoted acolytes like Gatecrasher.
Everyone was just so open-minded.
You came in and it was more like a big family gathering and we all enjoyed the music, and I was just in the fortunate position to actually play the music, to choose the music. If not, I probably would have been down there just jumping up and down with everyone.
It just became the most popular sound in music. If you wasn't playing trance, you're getting nowhere near the top 100.
They were playing to ridiculous crowd.
That sound fitted those big, massive arena-type gigs.
Paul Van Dyk.
Ferry Corsten.
Paul Okafor.
Armin.
Ali and Filia.
If we're going to have the conversation about trance, Tiesto has to be in that conversation.
It was not really a surprise that Tiesto won the poll because he was always so driven.
Tiesto, I mean, he literally set the world on fire based on his music, his sets.
He's, I think, maybe the first superstar DJ.
Really, he was a visionary.
He's always been my role model, and because of him, I wanted to become a DJ.
Early on, he was that show guy.
Without him, there would be no Garrix.
Tiesto was working in the record store where I used to buy my records. I was the one always asking for a certain type of music, and he was my guy to go to for that type of music. Before we both had our sort of breakthrough in whatever form, we were already just hanging out, and on Friday night, I was always there in the store, and, you know, he started doing more of the super high profile gigs, and then, you know, the Gelderdome here and the Olympics, and yeah, I've really seen it all happen with Tiesto.
I got in touch with electronic music through Tiesto because he was performing at the Olympics in 2004. My mom, she grabbed me, she was watching the ceremony. I don't know, the music did something with me.
When he played to, you know, thousands of people at the Olympic Games, that was just phenomenal. And he did all of that on vinyl. I mean, he probably wouldn't do that on vinyl today. I know I wouldn't.
That was for me like such an eye-opener. I wanted to become a DJ, and when Tiesto won that award, I was like, Mom and Dad, one day I want to become the number one DJ in the world.
I saw a DVD of Tiesto's concert. I was like, what the fuck is he talking about? For me, a concert is playing live music. And it felt to me like a scam. But actually, the guy had a vision. He was like 10 years in advance that people who come see a show, they come see an artist, not only a DJ.
Up until I won it, most of the DJs, Carl, Paul, Sasha, myself, you got the award, thank you very much, this is great, put it on the mantelpiece and then carried on as normal. And then if you look at Tiesto, big tours, big stadium events, big marketing, And fair play to him, you know, he took it in a different direction.
I think when Tiesto won a third year, we thought he was just going to keep on winning and winning. It was sort of, he was so unassailable, and the number of votes he was getting to be number one was so high that it did feel that he'd just sort of cornered the poll completely.
Amazing. When I started 14 years ago, there were no lists or anything like this. It was just the pure love for music, and as well, this list still, for me, this is not about competition. This is just showing how strong electronic music is and how global this whole youth culture became. And the great thing is we're all part of this thing. And
Paul Van Dyk. At that time, he was untouchable. I've never seen, even now, someone caught my attention like that.
There was this whole time when he was playing with Tiesto at Cream Ibiza. Thijs won the number one spot, and then it was almost like it had to happen for Paul.
Another adored DJ, isn't he, that's really led the way as far as trance goes.
I remember actually giving the award for number one to Paul Van Dyk in 2006. I traveled to London to give him his number one award. Paul Van Dyk is a legend.
I was in Asia playing, and then I got the phone call that we kind of, you know, obviously reached the top spot, and I was like over the moon. I was really happy, of course. I was giving the prize at Fabric that night, and I played there, and, you know, I remember I had like everything like prepared to play, and like a crazy awesome set to kind of, you know, honor the fact that I was given the number one spot, and then my whole equipment broke down. I know you might not want to hear it, but no, I you know, it's like that never, there was never something that drove me to kind of like win an award or kind of be on top of that list. It is a great honor, don't get me wrong, but again, that doesn't motivate me. What really motivates me is kind of like doing the best I can to present the music that I love so much in the best possible way, and see the reaction, see the smiles in the crowd, see the energy that's coming from the crowd. This is what drives me.
You're not going to believe it, but I just got a phone call from DJ Mag, and you're number one DJ in the world. And I was like, what? Honestly, I couldn't believe it. This was 2007. And yeah, that was probably one of the happiest moments in my life.
Armin van Buuren is kind of like, he's the guy that made a lot of people aware of the list.
Trance was still huge, and he was just the kind of ever-present number one for my first few years of the magazine.
I know from early on that he always said, like, I want to become number one.
I first heard of Armin van Buuren when I was quite young. I was lucky enough to have two older brothers, and they were obsessed with trance music.
The pose that he has, the big Jesus one, you know, no one else can do that any better than him.
Armin's super tight with this fan base and his community.
There's a great radio show that connects with people still with his music.
For the lovers of trance music, that was just the one place to go to.
And like the Michael Jordan of DJing, right? Like, we know it now, you're number one.
Woo! Hey guys, what's up? This is Armin van Buuren. I just arrived from the UK last night in London. I got this baby. It's the award for the world's number one DJ by DJ Magazine for the fourth time in a row. When I was voted number one DJ again, I was a little bit depressed, I guess, because of the pressure. I noticed instantly that when I was voted number one, the expectations for people were bigger. Things changed because I was no longer just Armin van Buuren, but I was also the number one DJ in the world. I made a mistake by reading every single comment on all the forums. Every fan meant so much to me. I was trying to please 100% of the people that were there. So at the time, it was a bit of a struggle, yeah. But I guess this is not the way you should view the poll. You know, it's just a popularity contest. It says something about the dance music industry, and it's an important part of the dance music industry, but it doesn't say everything.
I don't know what to say, guys. Thank you so much. Hope to see you at Armin Only or State of Trance 500. Keep rocking the Trance family, and see you soon in the State of Trance.
Yes! We'll be right back.
Happiest guy on earth right here.
EDM basically took over the world.
EDM was huge.
Explosion of EDM. It dominated everything.
The mainstream embraced dance music. And the answer of the DJ scene was EDM.
It's clear EDM has made a large imprint on entire music culture.
What I have to say about EDM, I mean, you know, it was the evolution of sound. You can't neglect evolution.
You can't stop that juggernaut, the popularity of it.
The impact it had was massive because it was kind of introducing kids to this new kind of sound.
Festivals were just doing, you know, big EDM stars, DJs, big production.
It catered to the mainstream in America. It opened the door to dance music and to the DJ culture.
A lot of people don't understand underground dance music, but dance music makes you feel happy, it makes you feel good. So EDM, I suppose, is giving a little bit of an essence of that, but making it accessible to the wider audience.
So, you know, you've got a lot of young people who maybe have not been into dance music before. It was a platform for them to come and see this.
Just like what trance was in the early 2000s, the early 2010s, the same thing that was EDM. EDM was definitely completely international. New, young, fresh EDM DJs taking over those spots because that's what the people were listening to, going to, and voting for.
Artists like Swedish House Mafia and Avicii.
David Guetta and Calvin Harris.
And then you had Dimitri and Mike, you had Garrix.
They've really kind of made it into their own and shown people, you know, this is what you can do. David Guetta was like at the pinnacle of the EDM. He was the one who had the real showmanship. He had the number one hits.
I think the thing that's really interesting about David Guetta is that he is a bit of a chameleon and he's very good at spotting trends.
I mean, I used to work with him back in the day at a club in Paris called La Bandouche. And David was basically a promoter. He wasn't even a DJ, but he had aspirations of being a DJ. So he would kind of go on first, warm up the room, and then we'd go on after that. And then he kept doing that, and eventually the table started to turn, and David Guetta was like doing stadiums for 45, 50,000 people. We're like, they used to warm up for me, you know, back in the day.
Anyone who delves into David Guetta's history for a moment or two will know that back in the 90s, DJing on vinyl, doing those 2-3 day parties, playing very legitimate French house and, I guess, underground dance music.
I have a privilege of getting to work with Guetta week in, week out at Future Rave. And what I've learned from my experience is that the man is obsessed with music.
His dance tracks were played on US radio first, because he was the first one to actually work together with big R&B artists in dance music. So he made the crossover between underground dance music and radio, and that opened doors for all of us.
I guess he's built that lovely kind of brand around him, which is important, I think. It's definitely a different animal now. It's not just you playing music.
And it's a big honor for me to present the number one award to Mr. David Guetta.
2011, when I didn't win the DJ Mag Award for the first time in 4 years, and Guetta won it.
Armin, that is a very good friend of mine, was, you know, winning before me.
It was in Amsterdam, the passenger terminal, I think. And I said, you know, I want to give this award to David because he's a good friend of mine.
No, guys.
And the trans community were so mad.
People started booing. I said, no, you know, this is not right. Guetta's won this award.
It was an interesting moment.
This guy got the most votes, most support around the world. Give him a round of applause, Mr. David Guetta.
When you're in the top 5, you only get love. You know, when you...
Menards is your electrical headquarters. We carry all the tools and testers you need for any electrical job. Stack up your toolbox with Southwire electrical products today. Right now, save big money on Southwire electrical tools, testers, cable ties, wire, and cable. Shop our huge selection in-store at Menards. Ranked number one in customer satisfaction among home improvement retailers according to J.D. Power. For more information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Save big money at
Menards. Number one, it's more complicated.
Wat is jouw toekomstdroom?
Ja, toch wereld nummer 1 van de wereld worden.
When I won the DJ Mac Award in 2013, that was, yeah, the highlight of my career. Like, that was my biggest dream. There was an interview where I mentioned when I'm like, I think 16 or 17 years old, that I want to become the number one DJ in the world. So that was my main focus, and being there, it was such an unreal moment. And as I mentioned, basically the biggest highlight of my career. Four hours later, when I won the award, I was all over the news, including CNN and every newspaper in the world. And I was a little bit hungover because we celebrated it, and I walk on the street and everybody wants to take a picture. I was like, oh wait, this is, it changed everything now. So like all of a sudden, in 24 hours, I was like world famous. My friends were like, yo, if you become number one DJ again, we need to do something, like something crazy. And I was like, yeah, what do you mean? Swim with sharks, jump out of a plane? We're gonna jump out of a plane. Before we knew, we were in the plane skydiving. Yeah, that's definitely one of the most crazy experiences I've ever done.
Het beste wat ik ooit in mijn leven heb gedaan. Dit was zo bizar. Wow. Goeie weddenschap.
Echt jongen, goede weddenschap, hè? Mooi dat je verloren hebt, hè? Ja. Mooi dat je nummer 1 bent geworden.
In terms of the awards parties, it's very hard to say which one stands out the most. It was a raucous time.
The first DJ Top 100 party we did was at the end. There was only room upstairs for about 300 people.
I remember the awards parties, they were quite a thing. And it wasn't initially, it was smaller events.
When I first started, the awards were presented on a Wednesday night at Ministry of Sound, £5 charity entry. People would like queue around the block.
Got to imagine the lineup on these parties. You were getting festival lineups on a school night, which is, you know, something special in itself.
It was a lot of fun, but it was also a bit chaotic because we weren't party promoters really, and yet suddenly we were doing a big awards ceremony.
After exhausting all the big London nightclubs for award shows, it was decided in 2011 to take the Top 100 Awards show to Amsterdam.
Yeah, we wanted to bring DJ Mac to the Netherlands. So if I can still remember, it was in the passenger terminal. We did it there 2 years in a row. It was always sold out. Everybody was excited.
And latterly, we were the climactic moment of AMF, the Amsterdam Music Festival, which was a huge, huge profile builder for the brand.
Seeing the number one being announced in front of such a huge audience was amazing.
Seeing the Top 100 DJ parties going from small underground venues to festival arenas, it just speaks for itself. It's a beast within itself these days.
Tomorrowland! Let's fucking bring it back once again.
But I still remember how excited we were and how excited everybody was. Like us and the Tomorrowland team, we did a barbecue outside the offices to give everybody the big news.
First year that Dimitri and Mike won it is something that you won't forget.
Yeah, that was completely surreal. I think it took a couple of days to actually have that news sink in.
We want to thank all our fans around the world and all the people of Tomorrowland. We're going to do our best to make you proud. We fucking love you guys!
If you're playing Tomorrowland, it helps for everything. At that time, we were also doing Bring the World to Madness, this arena tour that we started in Belgium where the guys sold 80,000 tickets. Taking that show to Mexico, to all the different countries that like led up to the moment that the guys became number one.
So when Top 100 DJs reached 1 million votes, we knew really it had completely outgrown the magazine and it was its own product.
As the poll grew, came a certain amount of criticism with it.
It's a popularity poll, so you can have criticism on the poll, but it's simply who's the most popular DJ in the world.
There's no such thing called as the best DJ. He's the most popular, that's it.
We know it's a popularity contest. That's exactly what it is.
How many fans do you have? How many fans are willing to vote for you?
Thinking about DJ Mac Hanging, it's also like who has the bigger fan base.
Music is not a competition, so in the end, I think being number one just means that what you're doing is appreciated by a lot of people rather than being the best in comparison with your colleagues.
For me, it doesn't matter. It doesn't justify where I am.
People should stop saying like, yo, but he's not the best DJ, he's not talented, whatever. At least he's popular. So it doesn't matter how he did it or she did it, but she made it. And that's something you should respect.
It's similar to a relationship with success, you know? It's like, whether you want to say it or not, you want it. But when it's not there, it's easier to hate on it.
People always ask me, how important is the list? If you're not in it, it's not important. If you're in it, it's super important, right?
And I did put out a post not long ago going, I don't need Top 100 to tell me that I've headlined Glastonbury, I've sold millions of records. For someone like me, that sounds really chippy, doesn't it? But I did feel that the polls seemed to mean more than the music and the commitment to the scene that the people within it had actually shown.
I'm not necessarily a huge fan of popularity contests, but I do appreciate fans showing up. And for us, it's just a way to see where we stand.
We've had to put up with a lot of flack for it. We often find on the socials when the posts go up and the Top 100 countdown is there that some of the engagement can be quite negative because it can come from people that didn't actually vote in the poll.
Sometimes people that are from the underground, they think they're too cool for school and they're not gonna vote, but then they should not complain that their favorite artist is not in the top 10.
For me as an upcoming artist, that was a big deal.
Huge, huge impact on my career and also for the new generations of Latin Americanos, you know, the Latin people.
So 2011, when I broke through and I got into the rankings, it's like you've been noticed.
I think of all parts of the world, the list is most important in Asia.
China was kind of cut off a little bit from the rest of the world, and when DJ Mag launched at djmag.cn, it gave opportunity for Chinese fans to actually kind of engage and actually be a part of it. For them, you know, to actually have, you know, an avenue to be able to express themselves and be a part of something global is great.
For new talent to be visible in that poll is going to move mountains for them, but there is a but.
I think at the top end, the DJ Top 100 does really reflect who is vastly popular, but it's also about the PR machine behind that artist.
Because it's fan voted, there's a lot of marketing going on with the DJs, and that's one of the things I'm not like a super big fan about.
I mean, for people to campaign, to tell people, hey, you know what, vote for me, vote for me, vote for me. Nobody should really campaign about voting at all. Let it just happen organically.
What I can say is that Martin Garrix doesn't do any marketing and he's still number one, so.
People really want to be part of that Top 100. It's like everyone's fighting for that.
It's about the readers now. It's their poll. It's what they want to make it.
And I would say to any artist on it, it's wonderful if you've got a place in the DJ Top 100, but it's always about the music.
Give it up for the one and only Martin Garrix.
Everything I associate with DJ Mac, that one memory of Chesto giving me the award was the craziest. I received a call, like, hey, poll is closed, we got the final. I was like, wow.
I remember Tiesto, I think it was at Tomorrowland, got a hold of Martin Garrix up on stage and put him on his shoulders. And then I was thinking to myself, I never had that.
I first heard of Martin Garrix, I think the same time that maybe everybody in the world first heard of Martin Garrix, which was when he had a huge hit with his breakout song, Animals.
Martin Garrix was just out of his teens when he won the Top 100 DJs, making himself the youngest ever winner. He got there so quickly because of the success of that track and the hype around it at the time.
Animals was the start of all the craziness. From the moment that song got released, my whole life's been like flipped upside down.
I'm still learning every day. One day I dream to be on Carl's level or on Chesto's level or on David's level. I started making music because of Chesto, because of David, so I would never ever see myself above them or a better DJ than Carl Cox. For me, he's God.
I mean, Martin Garrix, he was so spectacular, the way he came out, so young.
Martin Garrix, he's the leader of the new school, and he's remained so nice, you know, even though he's had success at a very early age.
Do you know what's interesting? When Martin Garrix won the poll at such a young age, there was a lot of older DJs who were complaining and moaning, like, who is he, who is he, who is he? But you've got to remember, the poll's been going for 20 plus years. This is the new generation of DJs that was coming through. At 18, 19, was appealing to this next generation of dance music fan. And he was one of the biggest pulls for his age group of the time.
It's just delighted that someone so young with such a fresh sound at that time was able to win the top 100 and really dominate it in the way that he did.
On such a young age that he was number one, you know, that's very special.
It's not that diverse. I think everyone can see it. It's the elephant in the room for sure.
Sometimes when I've looked at it over the years, I'm like, what?
I really don't think that the top 100 really represents the reality of the scene.
It's nowhere near as diverse as the coverage across the DJ Mag platforms. And that's something that has been an issue for us and a talking point more widely.
The reflection of the poll is a reflection of a real old-fashioned view that still we have to re-educate.
The DJ community at large is also not very diverse.
Definitely felt like it was quite a boys' club in the early days. You know, I could count the number of female DJs on one hand.
Even if you look at last year's poll, I think there was 6 black faces in the top 100.
I don't see many Asian DJs out there.
Black people are being written out, the women are being written out, and it's turned into a very young, white, male thing. That's not being negative about it, that's just being realistic.
It was very hard for women to push themselves. A lot of men in the DJ world had a team around them, and the team seemed to galvanise the fan base.
It has really taken a while for there to be women with brands even remotely the size of these guys.
The women in the space as well is like underrepresented. But women are taking over. I see it in a big way in techno and house.
You know, anyone being up there and having that sort of visibility hopefully paves the way for the next generation.
You need to be represented. And if there isn't anyone that represents or looks like you, then why should you vote for it?
If you go down the list, when we're going through the data, to the kind of the 150, 200, you suddenly start seeing a list of artists who are huge, but they're from a different scene who doesn't interact directly with top 100 DJs. We basically came up with a plan. We worked with our colleagues at Beatport to use their genre filter to filter the list so we could create a new 100 DJs strictly for DJs from house, techno, and other kind of derivative scenes.
Alternative top 100 DJs is a poll that tackles the diversity issue. It gives a chance for DJs and the sound that normally wouldn't be represented in the top 100 to actually be spoken about.
The first time I was included in any DJ Mag list whatsoever was in the alternative one. The fact that there is like a second platform to offer people some visibility is really nice, and I think it also pushes some people through to the general list.
You know, they put out this new poll and I ended up with that as well. I was very proud of that.
You know, people like accolades, and you know, it was a positive thing for that scene.
Music is something like a very emotional experience, so it's really hard to compare yourself or to turn it into a competition. But to see your name in a list with other fantastic DJs and talented people is just a really cool thing, and it gives you like a very nice tap on the shoulder, like a nice, it's a nice hug that you're getting from the scene.
I connect with Charlotte so much because of that, and she deserves it, you know, at the end of the day. And she's not only just for women, but just for music as a whole. She's just busting doors open.
So the alternative poll stopped when we realised that the two polls were getting so much closer together again.
DJs like Charlotte DeWitt in there now and Peggy Goo, and actually those girls are playing techno, so that's really positive.
Get a lot more house and techno fans now voting in top 100 DJs, which is a throwback to how it was originally when those kind of artists would dominate the poll.
And to actually look back now and see how much it's changed is great. There's still a lot of work to be done.
The future is going to become more diverse. It has to represent what's happening.
It's about shining a light, giving a spotlight, and visibility in the end of the day.
My relationship with the top 100 is always complicated because I had moments where I was hating it because I felt like I was misrepresented. I think the second time felt probably better than the first time. I didn't win because of my hits. I came back with a future rave. I felt very comfortable. Those are my foundations. Problem with success and when you cross over, you have your foundations and then you add this layer. You come with a crazy hit record that touches your community and outside of your community. And then this is a little bit addictive because of course your show has become crazy, your fees go to the roof. When you fall into the trap of that commercial success, at some point you lose the foundation, you lose the culture. And then it's just another pop star, and that was not the original motivation. This is why me, I'm always like trying to find that balance, and that's why, yes, to be number one DJ, really for me as important as to have a number one record.
What a view.
I got the news that we were back on number one, and I didn't really expect it, to be honest.
Big shout out to DJ Mag for placing me here.
It was exciting because we released Sentio, which was a full like club festival album. I spent a lot of time in the studio working on new stuff for the sets. It was nice. It felt really grateful. My goal was not to be number one on the list. Every year I'm blown away by the support, by the votes, and by everything. And it still feels very surreal to be part of the list.
It didn't really hit me how big it was, the DJ Mag poll, and how big dance music had become. It's only now looking back at it.
I think it was almost like inevitable with the rise of dance music throughout the world.
I never thought that the whole DJ scene would be what it is today. To be part of this culture, to witness the evolution of this culture in every sense of the word. And it's fascinating because I never thought in a million years that I would travel the world, play music, and make money. It's phenomenal.
I'm really, really happy that DJ Magazine created that list. It set something in motion from in the 90s to this day, and it's a good thing.
I'm surprised looking back at it because, you know, if I'd have kind of realised then how important it was, maybe I'd have taken it a bit more seriously.
Some people are dissing it because it's not representing what they love. And I think it doesn't matter. It's like, this is definitely good for the DJ culture. This is good for everyone.
Me as a Brazilian and a Latin artist, I'm really thankful for the DJ Mag poll because it gave me a lot of, you know, visibility.
You know, it was a dream, and this dream is, yeah, it's now a reality.
It definitely helped our career because I feel like at some point a lot of promoters, club owners, everyone that was involved in the process of, you know, booking us for shows, we're definitely also looking at that list.
For two guys from Egypt, nobody would think that we could crack this top 100 DJs. Nobody heard about any DJs from that side of the world, you know? And back then, like, people from Egypt, from that region were like so happy, so proud of us.
I honestly feel that I'm not by myself. I feel that I'm representing a country. So we all celebrate together because we were always taught that we are inferiors and what's outside that it's superior. So when I'm there, like on top four, it's not about myself. It's about like the whole country together, everyone together celebrating that, you know.
Every year, it makes me super grateful to see that you have so many fans voting for you, right?
It's amazing to see where it's gone from, considering it's a humble origins at the beginning of the 90s. It's a very proud and exciting project for me to have worked on, and I'm so excited to see how much it's grown.
You know, if you're an outsider and you don't know much about dance music, first thing you do is you go online and you see DJ Mag and you see like, okay, so who's this number one? And then if he's impressing you, then who's number two and who's number number three, it's raised the importance of dance music and it's raised awareness in dance music, which is what we all hoped, I think. So we all benefit from the poll, whether you're number one, number 10, number 99, or you're not even in the top 100. It has raised interest in dance music, and I think we should be grateful for that.
It's a big deal for us DJs to be in DJ Mag Top 100. And when the rankings come out, you're just like kind of on your toes and like curious what, you know, where you stand with where people are voting.
I think DJ Mag really is a sort of grid where everybody looks at and see what's hot and popping.
And I remember that people in China started to book me, not because they knew my songs, because I wasn't top 44, because that was the reference for it.
I think it's a great thing to see that there's so many different genres, so many different people, so many different cultures, so many different countries in that list, you know? It's like all over the place now, but that's what dance music is about. It's a worldwide thing now.
It represents our music, our electronic dance music scene.
In fact, if everyone was the same, DJ culture would be really boring. So the fact that there's every DJ's got its own style, how they play, what they play, how they perform, it's, you know, that's what makes it so colourful.
I'm just thankful still to be invited to the party. It's a fabulous job being a DJ, and I don't take it for granted that it's very special to be allowed to do this.
Really heartening that people still believe in our scene so passionately.
To still be in the top 100 after all these years is an incredible feat in itself, I think. I wasn't expecting that whatsoever. So yeah, the 21st of October, 1993. Wow, look at that.